Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Connections Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
This is Alex Ruggieri. Welcome to Commercial Connections Podcast. Today, my guest is Jill Dumeland. Jill is a fourth generation of the Dumelands with Dumeland Commercial. She is also the very first woman to run the company. She prides herself on successfully connecting people to real estate opportunities through tenant and landlord representation and sale and leasing of retail and industrial properties in Bismarck and Western North Dakota. At the age of 26, she earned her CCIM by completing over $15 million in real estate transactions. In 2011, she was featured as a young gun in the recently published book, Brokers Who Dominate. In 2010, she was listed as a rising star by CCIM Institute. She was on the North Dakota's Business Watch list, 40 Under 40. And she is licensed in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. And probably one of the really outstanding things is that she is a mommy of two children, ages 5 and 2, with a third one on the way in 6 weeks. So, welcome.
Thanks, Alex. I'm glad that we have this time to chat this morning.
Yeah, that is quite a resume. That is amazing. Tell us a little bit about, you started, it sounds to me like your family, had a legacy here that you kind of picked up on, but you started awfully early.
I did start early. I have vivid memories of my father driving me to school in third grade, and he was talking about cap rates. So I think that, yeah, kind of scary, but I vividly remember where we were at as we were driving to school and talking about cap rate, or we would be going to the store and I wanted something, and if I wanted it, I had to negotiate with the salesperson working at the store to get whatever I wanted. So it was definitely ingrained in me, but I always said I am never going into the family business and I'm never going into real estate. And then my sophomore year at college, they started a real estate program, called my father and said, I'm going into real estate, and sat on my sword at that time and said, I'm all in.
Wow, that is wonderful, and I bet you he was much delighted, too. So if I were your dad, I would be anyway. So now I want to get straight to the topic at hand for our listeners out there, because you have a unique perspective in the way you run your business, and I think that it's germane to all of us. We are going to talk a little bit about power working, which is your term, to achieve your ideal work week. And that includes having a life, right?
Correct. That's something that I think about every day, every minute when I'm looking at my work week, is how am I going to schedule it to achieve what I personally want, not somebody else or what somebody's demanding of me, but what I want and what I want to achieve for having that work-life balance that everybody talks about, and I think that deep down a lot of people want. And so one way that I have been able to achieve that is through power working. And my definition of power working is working in blocks of time, and I like to relate it to when anybody is working or trying to go on vacation. Seems like vacations now are harder and harder to achieve, especially with how tied in we can be with our cell phones and email and social media, but still being able to have that vacation time. And so a lot of times before somebody's getting ready to go on vacation, they're trying to get everything done so they can actually enjoy it. And so I apply that principle almost every day. So I work in chunks of time, and I power work, and I find that I'm actually while I'm power working, I need to focus on what's the most important things I can do in that chunk of time. And, you know, following that same principle is something that Brian Tracy has written about, and he called it eating frogs. So it's focusing on the things that are most productive for your business. And also, sometimes they're not the things that you maybe want to do, but you'll receive the greatest result from doing.
Yeah, I love that. I heard Brian Tracy speak in San Diego last year, and I literally got to sit at his feet. I mean, the stage was right there, and he was speaking to our group, and there was only maybe 200 people in the audience, and I was literally at his feet, and I was just blown away. I took copious notes, but that is something that he talked about in terms of your day. He said you may have 8, 10, 12 tasks that you do in a day, but one or two of those tasks are probably responsible for 80-90% of your productivity that day, and you need to focus on what those are. And maybe those aren't the most pleasant, and that's where we get the, you know, swallowing the frog. You know, you have to do that first thing and get it out of the way. So I wholeheartedly agree with you, and I think that's great, but sometimes hard to do.
Oh, I agree. I definitely have my list, and, you know, it's our natural tendency to pick the things that are quick and easy, but I really try to challenge myself, and I've seen great benefits of that, and it bears fruit for myself where I am able to, you know, being a mommy of two and having another one on the way, is those are precious moments. And, you know, whether it's want to take your kids to the pool, now that I'm in North Dakota and we finally have summer, that's a high priority. Or, you know, for anybody, wanting to be able to be on the golf course, male or female, I think it's an important principle to try to apply.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it does take discipline. It's something that we have to. I remember one time one of my brokers told me when I was first starting in the business, if you are not hard and demanding on yourself, you need to be a self-starter in this business, he said. And if you're not hard and demanding on yourself, you will soon find yourself in a position where there is somebody over you and their whole job is to be hard and demanding on you.
That is just exactly it. And I think that everybody needs to look at their own real estate practice as their own business. Whether you're with a large real estate firm, at the end of the day, you still have to look at what you do and what you do every day as your own business that you operate, and how you conduct yourself to be the most productive, and then also having that discipline. And this discipline in so many different facets, just not having that work-life balance, but then also while you're working with clients and the clients that you're choosing to work with, I think that if you have the discipline to stay very focused, you can be very productive.
Yep, it's all about that discipline. Now, there was a couple other things you wanted to talk about. Tools, you said. Tools for those in their first 3 years of business. What tools did you want to share?
There's been a couple of things that I've been able to apply in my career. I wish I would have maybe applied them even sooner. It's definitely, there's always that learning curve. And when I first started in the business, a mentor of mine said, always give it 3 years in this business and you'll start to see your efforts bear fruit. But I think that those 3 years could be even minimalized if somebody's starting out, or if somebody wants to increase their production, by applying a couple of tools to become more efficient faster. And I think at the end of the day, and I still apply these principles for myself, because my ultimate goal is to be efficient. And if I am efficient, then I get to have that work-life balance. So one of them is what I call leave your door open. And to me, when I was first starting out, I was in a cube, and the senior brokers were in private offices, and they left their doors open. And while I was sitting in that cube, I was able to listen to their conversations that they were having while working on deals. And I wasn't eavesdropping. Well, I was eavesdropping, but I was eavesdropping for the purpose
in a positive, constructive way.
Exactly. Not to wedge into a deal, but just to learn how they were handling different situations, because I think in our business, there's no better way to learn is when you're seen the practical side of things for anybody. And, you know, I think no matter where you're at in your career, no matter how long you've been in this business, you know, the unthinkable happens. There's always a new situation, new challenges of how you approach a deal. And so I think always leaving that door open and listening to your colleagues and brainstorming, that you can learn a lot of how to approach a new situation. So we always, is that continuing to learn component. Another tool I think is is to be accountable. And, you know, we hear a lot about it, but then it goes back to that discipline of continuing to apply that of being accountable, doing what you say that you're going to do. And, you know, I've seen that with clients that they come back to our company and our team to work with us because they know they're going to get that call back. They know that when we say we're going to do something, that we're going to do it. Or even they know they're going to get an honest answer. If we don't know, we'll say we don't know. I think nothing's more frustrating for anybody if somebody acts like they know the answer or so on, and then it proves not to be correct. People would just rather hear, I don't know, is the answer. So that accountability factor.
Yes, and just own up to it. And then I always would tell my agents, you can say that, own up to it, be honest about it, but then add, but I will find out.
Exactly.
I don't know, but I will find out.
It's that value added and that extra mile. Everybody's looking for the value added and what somebody brings to the table. And if there's somebody who's willing to do that, I will find out and go that extra mile for our clients. I know they really appreciate that because they're so busy. And that's why they come to you, because they want your services and for, you know, to have a go-to person.
Yep. Okay, the other thing you said was increase your probability of closing, whether it's a hot or even a cold market. How do you increase your probability of closing?
Well, right now in North Dakota, we've been very fortunate. Our market's been very strong. So I've been really focused on how to conduct our business in a hot market. However, I know there's always another side, and we'll probably be there too, where, you know, the market may be cold. But I think that these principles apply for anybody, because the ultimate goal is to be efficient. But even though you're efficient, you still have to close the deal. So looking at the probability to close. So one of the things that we have really been focusing on in our market right now is qualifying groups, asking the key questions to make sure, one, that they're a fit for you and your team and your organization, that it fits within your wheelhouse of area of expertise. And, you know, sometimes that's challenging because whether you're people in this business, we're all have a part of us who are in it for the thrill of the hunt, just because we love to try to accomplish a deal. So we're always quick to take on multiple projects and take on any deal that is walking and living, but making sure it's the right deal for us. And so qualifying, and, you know, we've found just certain key questions in our market, and your market might be different, but identifying what those qualifying questions are. So, you know, it could be even as basic as, do you have your financing in place? Just inquiring who the decision makers are, making sure that you know who the decision makers are, that you're maybe in this situation talking to the decision makers. Some of those things are, it seems so simple, but sometimes we forget about those simple questions that can really make a difference in qualifying a group.
Great, great advice. Well, we're down to our last minute here. Let's talk about the three most important takeaways that we want to share with our listeners today.
I think, one, identifying the work week that you want, whatever that may be, and whatever you want to achieve, but identify that and schedule it, and I think that you can really make that happen. Two, applying Brian Tracy's principle of eating frogs, staying focused on what you need to do, then you're going to have that efficiency naturally come into place where you are efficient if you apply that principle. And thirdly, Susan Scott's Fierce Conversations, and what by having those fierce conversations, it applies that qualifying I just mentioned for efficiency of probability to close. And there I think you'll have your balance of work and family, and then also being able to be successful.
Well, obviously all these principles have served you well, being one of the most successful brokers in your market area, and having such a fantastic, stellar career and being recognized in so many ways. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to share with us some of your secrets of success to benefit our NAR members.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jill Dumoulin, thank you for being with us today on Commercial Connections Podcast.
Thanks for being with us on the Commercial Connections Podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.